The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Evening, everyone. In the Megillas Esther, Perek Ches Posuk Tes Zayin, it states, "La'ihudim ha'isha eira v'simcha v'sosein v'kor." That to the Jews there was ora, light, simcha, joy, sosein, happiness, v'kor. V'kor is a glory. The Gemara, at the end of the first perek of Masechta Megillah, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, the Gemara darshins this posuk. It states, "La Yehudim hoisa ora." To the Jews, there were light. Omer Yehuda. What does this mean? Eirazu Torah. This refers to Torah. V'cheinu Eimer. And as it states in Mishle, ki ne mitzvah v'torah or. A mitzvah is called a candle. And Torah is referred to as an or, a light. And therefore when it writes, la'ihudim ha'iso ora, that the Jews had light, this refers to the light of Torah. This is something that needs explanation. What does it mean that the Jews had the light of Torah? If it means that it was a nischus through the merit of Torah, they were nitzel from Haman, that they were saved from the decree of Haman. The schus of Torah is always found by Klal Yisrael. And the merit of Torah is always part of a Hatzolah, of a Yeshua, of a salvation of Klal Yisrael. So why specifically by Purim does it state that? And if it means that the Torah was not forgotten by them, we have a haftocha, we have a promise, leisishkach, that it will not be forgotten for all of the times, in all of the goliyos, in all of the exiles. So why was this exile, the exile of Achashverosh and Haman and Mordechai, which took place in the Syrian Persian Empire, why should this be different? So what does it mean, la'ihudim ha'isa ora, that to the Jews there was light, ora zu Torah? This refers to Torah, and it has a special significance by Purim. What special significance does Torah have by Purim? The Maral explains in his Hakdamah, in his preface to his Sefer on Purim, Or Chodesh, in accordance with the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Pei Ches, Omer Aleph. The Gemara brings a posuk in Parshas Yisro, when Klal Yisrael came to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, and as they came to the mountain, as they came to the mountain to receive the Torah, so the Torah tells us in Yisro, Yutes Posuk Yud Zayin, "Vayetze Moshe Sohom Nikras Elokim Min HaMachne." Moshe took the nation to meet the Almighty from the camp, "Vayitzatzfu B'sachti Sohor," and they stood beneath the mountain. "Vayitzatzfu B'sachti Sohor," they stood beneath the mountain. So this would mean, the simple meaning would be, is that they were at the bottom of the mountain. But the actual meaning, Mesachtis Hohor, means that they stood underneath the mountain. So the Gemara says, Om Rav Abdimi Barchame Bachaso, Malamit Shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Es Hohor Kigigas. That in actuality they stood beneath the mountain, underneath the mountain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifted the mountain, pushed it over them, Kigigas, like a large basin. And he said to them, Imate mekabli ma Torah mutav. If you will accept this Torah, good. Bimlav shom take furaschem. And if not, then I will drop the mountain on you, and this will be your burial place. This is what is meant by Yamad Bisachti Sohor, that they stood beneath the mountain. And this is the Gemara asks, Shoma Rabaka by Yaakov Mikan Meido Rabbele Araiso. According to this, then this is a great objection to the receiving of the Torah. So Rashi explains that if Shim Yasminum Ledin Loma Leki Yamtem Mashikibaltem Aleichem Yeshlem Tshuva Shekiblu Aboinus. If the Almighty would ever come with a complaint to Klal Yisrael, why haven't you kept the Torah? You agree to receive the Torah. Why haven't you kept it? They can answer, we never agreed to accepting the Torah. It was forced upon us. So Mikan Medor Rabba Laraisa, here we have a great refutation to the Gemara, to the Torah, to the receiving of the Torah. Omar Rabba. So Rabba answers, Afal Pikein Hode Kibluha Bimei Achashverosh. No, it's not true. Because even though at that time they received the Torah through force, but later on they accepted the Torah without force. When? In the time of Achashverosh. In the time of Purim. The Ksiv Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. In Esther, in the Megillas Esther, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Chof Zayin, it states, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim, that the Jews confirmed and they received all that was given. What does that mean? Kimu Ma Shekiblu Kfar, that they confirmed what they had already received. All of the Torah that they had received before, many, many years before, when they stood at Har Sinai, on Purim was Kimu. On Purim, they reconfirmed it. Now, this is something that they didn't have, or they didn't do at Sinai. So therefore, on Purim, there was a confirmation, an affirmation of Torah, which never existed before, even on Sinai. Because in Har Sinai, they received the Torah forcefully. And on Purim, they received the Torah willfully. And therefore, Laihudim Haisa Ora, on Purim, there was a new Torah. Or a Zu Torah, something that they didn't have before. Now, this needs explanation for many aspects. First of all, how can the Gemara say that Torah was given to Yisrael and Har Sinai forcefully? In Parshas Mishpatim, in Chof Dalet, Posuk Zayin, which is speaking about right before the receiving of the Torah, Moshe came down to the people, Vayikach Sefer Abis v'yikra bo'ozne ha'om, and he read to the people the mitzvahs which they had received before the giving of the Torah. Rashi explains, v'bereishis v'ad matan Torah u'mitzvah shenitzdava b'morah. He read to them anything that had happened before the giving of the Torah. And he was preparing them for going to the mountain and receiving the Torah. Vayomru, and they said, Kol asher dibar Hashem nase v'nishma. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us, whatever he will say, we will do, and we will readily accept.
Nase v'nishma. Targum says, Nase v'nishma, ne'abed u'nekabel. So this means that even before Torah was given to them, before it was explained what was in the Torah, they said, Nase v'nishma. Nekabel, ne'abed u'nekabel. We will accept and we will do. So how can we say that it was given forcefully to Klal Yisrael? Higdimu nase l'mishma. That even before they knew what was in the Torah, they accepted it. This is a kasha that many Rishonim ask, including Tosfos. This is one question. Second question is, the Gemara takes on that during the time of Purim, they reconfirmed willfully the Torah that they had never readily accepted before. And we darshan it from a posuk, as it states, Kimu v'kiblu ayuhudim, Kimu mashi kiblu kfar. Where did we see that? Who wrote the Megillah? The Megillah was written by Esther and Mordechai and by the Sanhedrin. So they wrote that in the Megillas Esther. But where did they see that Klal Yisrael had reconfirmed or reaffirmed Torah in a new level that they had never done before in order that they should write that in the Megillah? Where do we know this from? How do we know that they did this? This is the second question. Third question, it comes out then that in actuality Purim in an aspect is a higher level than Har Sinai. Har Sinai, the Torah was given to them forcefully. While on Purim, Lahudim Isaora, they had Torah, which was of a higher level. Is this so? And what is the explanation? So we have these three questions. Firstly, how can we say that it was forced on them? When it's well known that they were Higdimu Nasel and Nishma, that even before they knew what was written in the Torah, they said, we will accept. And secondly, we say that on Purim, they received the Torah with a full will, a full rotzein. Where do we see that? Where did we see that took place? And thirdly, it comes out that in an aspect, Purim then is even a higher receiving of the Torah than on Har Sinai, but by Shavuos. What is the explanation of this? In regards to the first question, there is no doubt that Klal Yisrael were Higdimu Nase L'Nishma, that they offered immediately to receive the Torah without even knowing what was written in the Torah. And this is one of the greatest zchuyos, one of the greatest merits of our nation. And the Gemara elaborates on this. The Gemara in Shabbos, and Peches, the Gemara brings, Dorash Rapsamoy, B'shoa Shekdim Yisrael Nasel Nishma, Bo Shishim Berbuah Shel Malachi Ashorish, at the time when Klal Yisrael said that we will do, and we will accept, even without knowing what was in the Torah, then 60,000 angels came. L'chol echad v'echad m'Yisrael shore le'shnei k'shorim. And every angel had two crowns. And he put six hundred thousand. And he put two crowns on each Jew. Echad k'negen nasev, echad k'negen nishma. One crown was because they said we will do, and the other crown was because they said that we will accept. Mekiven shechote Yisrael, and since Klal Yisrael sinned at the golden calf, Yodu Me'ev Eserim Rabua, 120,000 angels came, 1,200,000, it would be twice the amount of 600,000 angels came, Malachi Habola, Upirkun, and they removed all of the crowns. And then the Gemara goes on. The Gemara and all of the crowns Meisha took. And then the Gemara says, "Rots Omar Eshloki Shosid Hakadosh Baruch Hu Lachziron. Hakadosh Baruch Hu will come and return the crowns." as it states, Uvo Tzion Berino Vesimchas Eilam Al Reishom, that the joy which they had, Shema Eilam Al Reishom, on their heads, they will again receive. Omer Abelezer, Bishor Shek Dimi Yisrael Nasel Nishma Yotzes Baskol, when Klal Yisrael said, we will do, even before they knew what was written in the Torah, a voice from heaven came down and said, Mi Gila Libonai, Roz Zeh, Shemalachi Ashorish Mishtam Shinbay. Who has revealed to my children this secret that the angels use? They are the ones who say, Baruch Hashem Alohav Givei Rekeach, Eise Dvorei Lishmaya, Kol Dvorei Bereisha Eise Vahode Lishmaya. They do first, even before they find out what it contains. Then the Gemara brings another case. Omer B'chama B'rebchanino, Mahu Diksiv Kitapuach Ba'atzei Hayor. The Klal Yisrael is compared to a tapuach. A tapuach is a type of fruit. I don't know if it refers to an apple, but it's a type of fruit. They are compared to this fruit. Why? Ma tapuach zeh pirya kedim la'olav av Yisrael higdimu nasa l'nishma. Most fruits, so first come out their blossoms, and then later on the fruit. This type of fruit, the fruit comes first and the blossoms come later. So is Klal Yisrael. Most people say, tell me what you want from me, and then I'll consider if I'll do it or not. Klal Yisrael said, Nase, we will do, v'nishma. We will do without considering. Whatever you say, we will do, and we will accept. Then the Gemara brings another case. Ahut Stuki, the Chazi Lerove de Komain b'Shweitzer. There was a Stuki, like an atheist. He saw Rova, one of the great rabbis of the Gemara, was sitting and learning and concentrating on what he was doing. Yosva et boso didei tu sikara. And meanwhile, his hand, his finger, was wedged in between his leg and the bench. And he didn't realize he was concentrating so much on the Shmeitzer, on what he was learning, that he had placed so much pressure on his hand, that his hand was bleeding. So this Stuki, this atheist, said, Omalei, I'm a pesiso. He says, you're a wild nation. Your mouths preceded your ears. Akati bich. He says, you are still in your same wildness. First you should have seen what the Torah contains, whether you could accept it or not. And if yes, accept it. If not, don't accept it. So this is what he told Rova. That you're a wild people. First you should listen and then you should speak. Your people spoke first and then listened. First they said Nasu and then they said Nishma. And he says, I see you're still the same wild people. This is what he told Rova. Omalei. So Rova answered this person. He says, "Ana this ha ginon bishleimuso. We that walk with shleimus, with perfection, with perfect loyalty and perfect trust. Sivbon, it's written by us, tumes yeshorim tanchem, that the trust of the upright, this shall lead them and this shall protect them." The reason why we said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we will do whatever you say without asking what are you saying first, is because we have total trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Yisalach ni'imai b'tum leiv, g'derech ha'isi me'ava. Those that do with love, v'samachnu olov, shelo yitanenu b'dove shelenu chalamed be. Those who trust another is with love, they are confident that they will not ask, he will not ask them to do something which they cannot. Hanuch imshei the sagin balilusa. But you people, Rava told him, that walk with deceit and that walk with crookedness, ksiv bahu besalev begdim yisodim, that your crook, the crookedness of these people will destroy them. So this that Klal Yisrael said, Nasev Nishma, this was from the greatest levels of Israel. That immediately they said, you don't have to tell us what's in the Torah. We will accept it without knowing. And this shows the Devekus, this shows the bond that Klal Yisrael has to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bonim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem. You are sons to the Almighty. This is from the greatest levels. And this no doubt existed at Har Sinai. Like the Gemara tells us. And there was Eicha, they merited two crowns from the angels. So this existed. I we have the Kasha, but it states Kofo Aleham Har Kigigas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and said, you must take it. And if you don't, this will be your burial place. The answer to that is, that's also true. Both are true. The Almighty forced them to take the Torah, and they readily accepted the Torah. From the aspect of the giver of the Torah, it was done with force. He said, you must take it, and if you don't, then I'll drop the mountain on you, and this will be your burial place. From the aspect of the recipients of the Torah, it was Higdimu Naaseh L'Nishma, that first they said we will do, and then they said we will listen. Both are true. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have to force them to take it, if they were so readily to accept it? The answer to this is deep. And this we learn from another Gemara. There's another Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, also on Peiches. The Gemara says, Omar Chizkio, May dixiv mishamayim hishmato din eretz yoro vishakoto. It states in Tehillim, the Gemara brings, in Tehillim Ein Vov, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave din, when he gave the law from the heaven, the land trembled, and then it relaxed. Eretz yoro vishakoto. First it trembled, and then it relaxed. So the Gemara asks, Im yoro lo mashokto, im shkoto lo yoro. If it trembled, why did it relax? If it relaxed, why did it tremble? Bitchile yoro lo b'seif shokto. In the beginning it trembled, and then it relaxed. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, it states at the end of the 6 days of work, Vayere Vayvoke Yem Hashishi. It was evening and morning of the sixth day. And there's an extra letter, Hey. Hey Yisero. To tell us that that day HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition. That was the sixth day, and he made a condition with another sixth day, the sixth day of Sivan. Im Yisrael mekablim haTorah, atem miskayomim. If Yisrael will receive the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan, then you, the Ma'aseh Bereishis, the creation, will exist. Bimlav ani machzer eschem letehu bavayhu. And if Yisrael will not receive the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan, then I will return you to the nothingness. I will return you to dust and to nothingness, like you were before the creation. Therefore, Dovra Melech wrote in Tehillim, Mishamayim Mishmat Odin, that when the law came from heaven, Eretz Yoroh, first the earth trembled, because it didn't know if it would continue to exist, Ushkoto, and then it relaxed. What do we see from this? Torah is not something like some people might think. which is a maila, which is an added dimension to the world that the world can do with or it can do without. Torah is a chok habriya. It is a statute in the creation. With it, the world will exist. Without it, then the world will return to nothingness. Torah is not something that if it's in the world, it's good. But if it's not in the world, it's also good. Except we lack something. No. Torah is part and parcel of the creation. That if it's in the world, then there will be a creation, then there will be an existence. If it's not in the world, then the world will return to nothingness. It is a chiyuv and a hechrach. It is imperative, an imperative part of the world. An example, like physical nature. We know that there are principles of physical nature that are part and parcel of the world. If they are removed, the world will collapse. What would happen if the sun would lose its power, its magnetic pull, in which it keeps in order the entire solar system, all of the stars and all of the planets and the earth and so forth? What would happen? So it would bring destruction to the world. Just like there are physical principles implanted in the creation, so did HaKadosh Baruch Hu implant spiritual principles. And this is the Torah. And therefore he said, Vayere Vayboke Yem HaShishi, Tanai Hisnu Imaisa Bereshis, made a condition. If Klal Yisrael will receive Torah, and Torah will be brought into this world, then Atem Miskayomim, then there will be a world. If not, then Maksarani L'tehu V'vayhu, you will return to dust and to nothingness. Since this is the case, then it was not possible for the Almighty to come and ask Klal Yisrael, do you want the Torah good? You don't want it also good? Something which is imperative, something which is hechrich, something which has to be, then you cannot give options on it. He could give no option. He came to Klal Yisrael and said, here is the Torah. If you'll accept it, good. If you won't accept it, Shom Tehei Kfur Aschem, then this will be your burial place. And that's what it is meant, Vayamdu Besachti Sohor, that they stood beneath the mountain, virtually beneath. Kofa Aleam Har Kigigus, he lifted up the mountain and turned it over on them, and held it above them, and said, if you accept Torah, good. If you don't accept it, then I will drop the mountain on you, and this will be your burial place. Torah could not be given as an option, because it's not optional. That's mitzad de neisei, and that's from the aspect of the giver. From the aspect of Klal Yisrael, they readily accepted. They didn't have to be forced. They said, Naaseh v'nishma. Before we know what's written in it, we will accept it. Whatever you tell us, we will do. And then we will listen, then we will learn. So from the aspect of the giver, it was given by force. From the aspect of the recipient, it was received willfully. And one does not negate the other. So therefore both are true. The great schus of Klal Yisrael, that they readily accepted, that's there. At the same time, it was forcefully given. Betachti Sohor, beneath the mountain. Now the Gemara says, but it's still a Meidor Abel Araisu. Even though Klal Yisrael wanted to accept, still we have here an objection, a declaration which should pardon us from Averus. Because if there'll ever be a case put against us, why didn't you fulfill the Torah? we can say, you forced it on us. We were willing to accept, but you didn't give us the alternative. You forced it on us. So what do you want from us? Can't have a complaint, a claim against us that you accepted Torah. Why didn't you fulfill it? It was forced upon us. There was no option given. So it's Meidor Abel Araisha. There's a declaration that can pardon us from all of our Averas. Because it was accepted at a time when it was given under duress. It was accepted when it was given al yidei onis v'kfiyah, forcefully. And that the Gemara answers, hodu kibluha b'mei Achashverosh. Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah another time. And that time it wasn't given derech onis v'kfiyah. It wasn't given forcefully. It wasn't given under duress. And when was that? That was in the time of Achashverosh. So here we answer the first question. It's how can we say that Torah was given forcefully without option when we know that Klal Yisrael willfully accepted it, and this is their great schus. Both is true. They willfully accepted, but it was given to them forcefully without option. And from that aspect, this is a declaration that can pardon them from all of their averes, their sins. So that the Gemara answers, it was given. Here they accepted it, by Sinai they accepted it under duress, even though they accepted it willfully. Later on, by Achashverosh, they accepted it, even though it was not given under duress. That answers the first question. Now we come to the second question. Where do we see that they did accept it so willfully in the time of Achashverosh? Where in the Purim story do we see that there was a reconfirmation of Torah? And this the Manal brings from the Gemara in Masechta Megillah that Yudalad Omer Aleph. Gemara says, Tana Rabbona, the rabbis taught, Arboim Ushmon Nevim, there were 48 prophets, Sheva Nevios, and 7 prophetesses, Nishnabu Lehem Yisrael. That all prophesied for Israel. And not one of these prophets, these 48 men or 7 women, ever added one letter to the Torah. Chutz, with one exception, Mikro Megillah. Except in the time of Esther, where they added a mitzvah of Purim, a mitzvah of reading the Megillah. We find that on Purim there's a mitzvah, Midivrei Kabbalah, which was from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, that we must read the Megillah, we must read it twice, at night and during the day. And this was a mitzvah, this is a mitzvah every year. It was a mitzvah that year, and the following year, and every year. Where does this mitzvah come from? This is a mitzvah which was enacted by Mordechai and Esther, and the Sanhedrin of that generation. And this is not a mitzvah that the Torah gave. It's not from the 613. It was added. The Gemara, where do we see this from? So this is evident right in the Megillah itself. In the Megillah Esther, it states, in the last perek Yud, Pasuk Chof, Vayichtev Mordechai es hadvorim ha'ele, and Mordechai wrote down these words. So Rashi tells us, what did he write? He wrote the Megillas Esther. And he sent it to all of the Jews through all of the 127 provinces of Achashverosh throughout the whole world. Then it states a little further in Pasuk Chofches, it states, Vahayomim ha'elen niskorim v'nasim. These days shall be remembered, and these days shall be fulfilled, b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation, mishpocha, mishpocha, medina, medina, v'yir. Every family, every province, every city. B'mei Purim, ha'purim ha'ele, lo yavru mitei ha'yudim. And the days of Purim shall never leave from the Jews, v'zichram lo yosuv mezarum, and their remembrance shall never cease. So what does it mean, these days shall be remembered? So Rashi brings, b'kriyas ha'megillah. They enacted that the Megillah should be read, and that these days shall never be forgotten because of the reading of the Megillah. In Posuk Choftes it states, Vatichtei v'ester ha'malka bas avichal l'mod ha'yudi eskol tekev l'kayim ha'zigeres ha'purim ha'zois ha'shenis. Following year, Esther and Mordechai wrote this all down. They wrote the Igeres HaPurim, the letter of Purim, which is the Megillah, the second time. So what does it mean, the second time? The Shona Ashniya Chozer V'Sholchus Forim Shiyasu Purim. They sent out to all of the Jews all over the world on the second year after the Purim took place, that again they should make sure that Purim shall not be forgotten and the Megillah should be read. And then it states in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Umaymer Esther Kiyam, Divrei HaPurim Ha'ela V'Nichtav BaSefer. And the words of Esther were fulfilled. These words of Purim. And it was written in the Sefer. It was written in the book. What does this mean? Esther Bikshom Eishach Me'ador. Esther came to the Sanhedrin. She came to the great court. And she requested Lekovei V'Lichtei B'Sefer Zeh Im Shar HaKsuvim, that the Megillas Esther, the story of Purim, should be enacted, should be written and incorporated in all of the Sifrei HaKodesh, in the holy writings, v'nichta v'nichta b'sefer. And it was accepted. Okay. So that's what it states, v'maymer Esther kiyam divrei HaPurim ha'ele v'nichta v'nichta b'sefer. That what Esther requested, they did, and it was written down. So Esther and Mordechai and the leaders of that generation took upon themselves to add a mitzvah to the Torah. To add a mitzvah to the Torah and to add a book to the Chof Dalet Sforim, to all of the Sforim of the Torah. And that this book should be written, should be read every year. And no other of the prophets ever did this. This was the only time, the Gemara brings, that any prophet ever assumed the responsibility to add to the Torah a mitzvah that would be forever. Rashi asks that by Hanukkah also we see this. So he says that was afterwards, after the time of the prophecies. But this was during the time of the prophets, and therefore it had behind it the weight of the prophets. And therefore in Halacha it's called Divrei Kabbalah. Now, the Gemara asks, by what authority did they do this? See, who gave them the authority? So the Gemara says, "My Dorish, Omer Rabbi Barabi, Omer Rabbi Shuvin Korcho, Kal V'Chaymer." By the authority of a Kal V'Chaymer, they used the logic. They used the logic from the Torah. They said, "Umame Abdus Lecherus Amininon Shira, Memisa Lechayim LeKolshken." They held that the Megillah is a Shira. The Megillah is a song. We once went and gave a Shira as to why the Megillah is a song. They held that we are required in such an instance to sing a song to the Almighty, and that the song should be established forever. Why? From where did they learn this? Because when Me'avdus Lecherus, Klal Yisrael went out of Egypt, and there their lives were not in danger. Pharaoh didn't want to kill them. He only wanted to enslave them. So therefore, they had merely freedom from slavery. And Meishan Klal Yisrael said Shira. They sang a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So mi misa lechaim lekolshke. If we see that this is what the Torah wants, so here by Achashverosh, where all of the Jews in the world were in danger, Haman said, "Nahashmi lahare gulabed." He passed a decree with the signature of the king. Lahashmi lahare gulabed, to destroy and to wipe out kol haYehudim, all of the Jews. Achashverosh ruled from one end of the world to the other. Zokein the noshim v'taf, the old and the young and the women. Ushlolam lovais, and to take all of their belongings. So mimisa lachayim lekolshken. So from death to life, how much more so? Therefore, from this source, they enacted the mitzvah of the reading of the Megillah. This is what the Gemara tells us. From here we see, the Maral says, two things. Firstly, what the Gemara tells us, that they added the mitzvah of the reading of the Megillah. But secondly, we see something else. No one forced them to do anything here. They didn't have to create any new mitzvahs here. There was no duress. And still they went, and they were the machadish. They went and they created new mitzvahs. If one adds to what they already had, so then this was the greatest sign that they willfully accepted what was given to them before. Because if what was given to them before was not willfully accepted, so why are they going and adding to it yet? The 613 are not enough, and now you're adding more mitzvahs. So from the fact that they were stubbornly pursuing that a new mitzvah should be added to the Torah for that year and for the next year and for all of the years. And Esther went to the Sanhedrin, and there was no duress, no one forcing them. So we see that on their own they wanted to add to the Torah. If one wants to add to the Torah on his own, then certainly he's accepted all that is written in the Torah before. So here we see Hodu Kibluah b'mei Achashverosh. During the time of Sinai, they accepted the Torah, but it was given to them forcefully. Here on Purim, when it was not given to them forcefully, they reconfirmed and reaccepted the Torah. Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu mashe kiblu kfar. That they reconfirmed what they had accepted before. So that answers the second question. Where do we see in Purim that they went and they accepted the Torah? Now we come to the third question. The third question was, Lefiza, according to what we have said, Purim, in an aspect of Torah, is even greater than Shavuos. Because by Shavuos, the Gemara says it's a Meidah Rabbah L'Araisa. It was an acceptance in a case of duress. And only by Purim did they come to totally accept it, even though they were not under a situation of duress. How do we understand this? The answer to this is where do we learn that this took place, This was from the pasuk that we brought at the beginning of the shir, Layhudim Haisa Oda. To the Jews, there was light. And the Gemara says, Oras Zu Torah. Light refers to Torah. You can ask a question. Why does it say, Layhudim Haisa Oda, to the Jews there was light? Why doesn't it say, Layhudim Haisa Torah, to the Jews there was Torah? What does it have to tell us, Layhudim Haisa Oda, to the Jews there was light? And then from there we infer this means Torah, because Torah or Torah is called light. Why doesn't it simply say Layhudim Haisa Torah, that to the Jews there was Torah? The answer to this is that we are being taught a very specific point here. The Torah that they came to on Purim was described as a light. This new addition that came to them on Purim, that they didn't have on Shavuos, this was not new Torah. Rather, this was additional light in the Torah that they had received before. Layhudim haisa ora, that the Jews had a light on Purim that they didn't have before. And what was that light? That light was Torah. Additional dimensions of or Torah, of light of Torah they had on Purim that they didn't have before. This was the Torah that they had on Purim that they gained from all that took place. And why is this? There's a basic difference in what took place on Shavuos and what took place on Purim. On Shavuos, the Torah tells us, in Parshas Yisra'i, as Klal Yisrael was coming to the mountain to receive the Torah, so the Torah tells us consistently. For example, Vayim Hashem el Meshe, Hinei Anechi Bo Alecha Be'Ave Anon. Hashem says to Meshe, I am coming to you on the mountain. Bavur Yishma Om Ledabri Imoch. In order that the nation can hear what I am saying to you. V'gam b'cho yaminu la'elom, and they will believe in you forever. Then it states, Vayhi vayem ha'shlishi, on the third day, b'yeis ha'beker, in the morning, vayhi keilis uvrokim, there was great thunder and lightning, v'onen koveir alahor, v'onen koveir alahor, and there was heavy clouds, the kol shofar chozak mi'od, and the sound of the shofar, v'yecharad kol om asher b'machaneh, and all the nation trembled. V'har Sinai oshan kulei, and the mountain was full of smoke, v'pnei asher yorad olov Hashem bo esh, Kodesh Baruch Hu came down on the mountain in a fire, v'hi kol ha'shofar heilech v'chozak mi'od, and the sound of the shofar was exceedingly strong. Meshi would speak and Hashem would answer him. And Hashem came down on Sinai. Everything that took place on Shavuos, Klal Yisrael saw. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down as much as is possible for a human being to see. They saw the great thunder, the great lightning, the great sound of the shofar. It states, V'cholo om reim es akolis. All of the nations saw the thunder. Besalapidim. Actually, Rashi brings, the Chazal bring, they even saw what you usually cannot see. They even saw thunder. And they saw all of the lightning. And they heard the voice, the sound of the shofar. V'yar ha'om v'yanu v'yamdu merechek. And they saw, and they trembled, and they moved back. And they told Meisha, you speak, we're afraid. And he said, Meisha said, do not be afraid. Kodesh Baruch Hu is coming to make you great. And so forth. Everything that took place on Shavuos, the giving of the Torah, this was all explicit. Klal Yisrael saw. It was the greatest revelation, the Rambam writes, that ever took place in history. And Klal Yisrael saw, and it was imprinted upon their hearts and their souls forever. This was Maimon Har Sinai. There could not have been a greater light that ever took place in the world than Har Sinai. And this was the continuation of the great miracles which took place just shortly before of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt. Purim. Purim was just the opposite. In Parshas Vayelech, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yud Zayin, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he tells Moshe, after your death, and after the death of Yeshua, there'll be a time when Klal Yisrael will go away from the Torah. And I will become angry with them, and I shall forsake them, and I shall conceal my face from them, and they will find rose rabbis with sores. They will find such difficulties and sores. They will say on that day, Hello, Alkein ein alaikai bikirbi mitzuni arosa eila. That the reason why so much sores are coming is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has forsaken us, he is no longer amongst us. Vanechi haster aster ponai bayemahu. And on that day I shall conceal my face from them. Alkol ro'asher also. On everything that they have done, kifone alehim achedim, because they have turned to gods of others. Now the Gemara in Masech Techulin Darshins, the Gemara expounds this. In Kufla Metesam at Beis, the Gemara says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I will conceal my face from you, and you will think that I am not amongst you, this refers to Esther. Esther Minatera Minayin, as it states, Haster Aster. Esther's name is written the same way as Haster Aster, I shall conceal myself from you. It's somewhat ironical that Esther, who was the architect of this great miracle, her name refers to the same translation and description as concealment, and it refers to the pasuk in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there'll be a time when I shall forsake you and conceal myself from you. What it says, Esther min HaTorah minayin, where do we see Esther in the Torah? Haster Aster, that there'll be a time, Vanechi Haster Aster Pone Bayemahu, that I shall hide myself, I shall conceal myself from you. What is the explanation of this? The explanation is there will be a time of concealment. Concealment means darkness. Not only darkness, but it states twice, Aster Astir, a double darkness. Such a thick darkness that will be double. This refers in general to the Jews in Golus. They go into the darkness of Golus. In particular, it's referring to the Golus of Ahasuerus. Why? Because that was a double darkness. Firstly, it was Golus Bovel and Golus Modai. Klal Yisrael were living in Eretz Yisrael, and Bovel marched in and destroyed the Beis Hamikdash and sent them into exile. While they were in exile, they were exiled the second time when Modai, the Syrian Persian Empire, overthrew the Babylonian Empire. And this is how they were exiled again to Shushan, to Persia. So it was a golus b'seich golus, an exile within an exile, a cheshech b'seich cheshech, one darkness within another. Secondly, the Sene, the tyrant who wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, were two. Achashverosh and Haman. So it was a double cheshech, a double darkness. For this reason, the Medrash brings that David HaMelech wrote a kapitel tilim Lamnatzeach al Ayelet HaShachar Chof Beis, in which he refers to Esther as the Ayelet HaShachar. The Shachar is right before the dawn. Ayelet HaShachar refers either to the deer or to the first lights that come right after, right at the dawn. And it states like this: during the night time, even though it is dark, but there's the light of the moon and the stars and the planets. During the daytime, then we have the light of the sun. But right preceding the dawn is the darkest hour, because halvona shikas v'akechovim nichnosit v'amazolos holchim lehem. The moon has already set, and the stars and the planets have gone away, and the sun has not risen yet. So right before the dawn is the darkest moment. And Esther was called the Shachar. Esther was referred to at this time. Klal Yisrael lived in the darkest moments. It was a double golus, a double exile. It was two tyrants against them. And not only that, but Esther was a captive in the palace of Ahasuerus. Not only was she an exile in Persia, she was a captive in the palace of Ahasuerus. And therefore, Onechi Haster Aster Es Ponai, Ponai Bayem Ahu, this refers to Esther. There's another reason also why the darkness was so great, and that was because one of these tyrants was Haman. Haman, the Megillah tells us, was Agog. He was a descendant of Agog. Agog was the king of Amalek. On Amalek it states at the end of Parshas Bishalach, the Torah tells us Bayimah Hashem al Mesha. Hashem said to Moshe, "Save this Ikorin b'Sefer v'Sim b'Oznim Yeshua. Write this as a remembrance in the book, and place this in the ears of Yeshua. Ki moche emche zecher Amalek mitachas Hashemoyim. That I shall eradicate the remembrance of Amalek from beneath the heavens. Why? Ki yod al keis ko milchom al Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. Because my Kise, my throne, is not complete, and my name is not complete as long as Amalek lives on in the world. Ein Kise Sholem Vein Shmi Sholem Atshiyim Cheshmei Shel Amalek. Until the name of Amalek will be eradicated, if his name is in the world, then my name is not complete. When his name will be eradicated, then my name will be complete." And that's why it states, "V'hoyo b'yemahu yashem echor u'shmeyachot." On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be one and his name will be one. But on this day, as long as his Amalek is in the world, then my name is not complete. So we see that Amalek has the power to conceal the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even more. So here we had a situation where it was a golus of Bavel, it was a golus of Modai, it was a tyrant of Haman, of Ahasuerus, Esther was a captive in Shushan, and she was a captive in the house of Ahasuerus. And Haman in particular, from Amalek, who can cast a darkness to conceal the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. So what does it mean, Anechi Haste Aster Esponai, that I will conceal my face, and this refers to Esther? So Chazal tell us that even in the darkest moments, when I conceal myself from Klal Yisrael, there will still be Esther. What does Esther represent? Esther represents the miracle of Purim. Do not think that miracles only take place in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara tells us. See, we might think that in Eretz Yisrael miracles will take place, because on Eretz Yisrael it states that Hashem says that my eyes are on Eretz Yisrael, Meireishis Hashanah Ad Seif Hashanah. I watch over Eretz Yisrael from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So we might think that this is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But when we go into Golus, and we're no longer in Eretz Yisrael, and we no longer have the Beis HaMikdash, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, there were 10 miracles which took place consistently in the Beis HaMikdash. But when you go into Golus, and we go into the darkest Golus, and we cannot see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there we will say that He has forsaken us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anechi Haster Astir, I will conceal myself. But it does not mean that I'm not there. From that concealment will come an Esther. From Esther will come the miracle of Purim. The greatest miracles can happen even there. To teach us that wherever we are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. Like the Gemara says, Golad Yisrael, Golad Shechinti Imo. When Klal Yisrael went into Golus, the Almighty went with them. This explanation, besides in the Maral, is also in the Vilna Gaon, in his Pirush on the Megillah. The only thing is that even though I am with you and great miracles will take place, but you will not see me. It will be derech hefter, it will be in concealment. And this is what took place in Purim. Purim, we didn't see anything. When we went out of Egypt, we saw the splitting of the sea, we saw the 10 plagues. We saw the Yad Chazoka, the strong hand, Uzrayin, to an outstretched arm of the Almighty. When we came to Har Sinai, to Mount Sinai, we saw even more. We saw even what the human eye could never see. Not only did we see the lightning, we saw the thunder. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as was possible to see. Purim, we saw nothing. Anything that took place was concealed totally, derech hateva, in the way of nature. Someone reads through the story, it looks like any good reading. Not only we didn't see before, but even afterwards we didn't see. Many times when a miracle happens to a person, so before he's in the darkness, but he's yotza me'afela la'era. He goes from the darkness to the light. Purim was me'afela la'afela. Purim was from darkness to darkness. Because what happened after the miracle? After the miracle, the Jews were not set free. They were still subjects to Ahasuerus. Esther was not set free. She still had to continue to live together with the king in his palace. The Gemara says that's one of the reasons why we don't say Halal on Purim. Because on Pesach, so we went from slavery to freedom. While on Purim, a dying Abdi Achashverosh Anan, we are still slaves to Achashverosh. So not only before the miracle, but even after the miracle, we were still in darkness. And Esther, when she was in the palace, she thought HaKadosh Baruch Hu had forsaken us. The Chazal said that she said over the Kapitel Tillim, Keli, Keli, Lomali, Loma Zavtodi. Why have you forsaken us? And this is what it states in the Torah. Okay? The Torah states, it states that on that day when I will conceal myself from you and you will have great troubles, that we will say that we're having these troubles because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left us, he's gone. And this is what Esther kept being mispalel, have you left us? Keli, keli, lomali. So what was the difference then between Shavuos and Purim? Shavuos, they came to the highest level of Riyah Sin, of light. They saw then more than ever would be seen again, or that ever was seen. This is what the Rambam writes. Purim, they came to the lowest level of darkness, where it was impossible to see before the miracle, and it was even impossible to see after the miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not even written in the Megillah. It was total darkness, total concealment, for the reasons like we gave. Now, on Shavuos, they came to the heights of Torah from light. On Purim, they came to the heights of Torah from darkness. On Shavuos, they saw, and this brought them to Nasa v'Nishma. We will accept. We will do. On Purim, from total darkness, they came to a Nasa v'Nishma. We will accept and we will do. Biksha, they wanted to add to the mitzvahs of the Torah. If they came to that level, from the darkness of the Golus, from the darkness of the Purim, this is a new level. This is even a greater level than the level of Shavuos. If a person sees, so why shouldn't he do? But when a person doesn't see, and still he does, this is a greater level. And Shavuos, there was almost an impossibility not to accept the Torah. Because by Yerer Hashem al Ahor, they say, oh, Kodesh Baruch Hu, come down on the mountain. But on Purim, when nothing could be seen, there was a total darkness, it was a shachar, like right before the dawn, when not the sun has not risen yet, and the moon and the stars have already set, total blackness, and still they came to realize the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And like Rashi says, Me'avas Hanes, from the great exuberance and from the great love and enthusiasm of what took place, they wanted to add new mitzvahs to the Torah. This is the Kimu v'Kiblu HaYehudim. Kimu, they reconfirmed Mashe Kiblu Mikfar, what they had received before. Except before they received it in light, And now they reconfirmed it in darkness. From this comes new levels of light. Actually, the Gemara says that a candle by day does not cast any light. In darkness does a candle cast light, but not by day. And this was the new level. And therefore it states, Layhudim Haisa Ora, not Layhudim Haisa Torah. Layhudim Haisa Ora, they had light. They came to new levels of light in the Torah that were not found before. And this was the Or Chodosh, the new light which came to Klal Yisrael during the time of Purim. This is one of the reasons which is brought. Why on Purim we find a very strange mitzvah. Chayv onim l'sum b'puri ad l'yoda. That a person on Purim is supposed to drink on Purim until he no longer can understand. What's the reason of this mitzvah? All right, on Shabbos is a mitzvah of Kiddush. Yantif, a little more you drink. Pesach, this Arba Kes, is four cups of wine. The Purim is to the sheer what level? Adela Yoda, till the person doesn't know. The answer is because on Shavuos we served HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we accepted his Torah, we take Yediyah through knowledge. We saw his greatness with our eyes, and we heard with our ears, and we understood. So this brought us to the acceptance of Torah. Nasev v'nishma, we will do whatever you want from us. But there's a higher level. There's an even higher level. And that is what happens if you cannot see and you cannot hear. One that doesn't see and one that doesn't hear and one that doesn't understand and still accepts HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah unconditionally with a great love, what does this show? This is a higher level. This shows a strong natural bond of Boni Matem LaShem Elokeichem, that you are my sons. This was the level of Purim. Because Purim, they could not see. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I shall conceal myself. And they could not hear. And they could not understand. And even after it was all over, they came to a tremendous Layhudim Haisa'ir of Asim Kavasos, and we call tremendous rejoicing. What was the tremendous rejoicing? They die in Avdi Achashverosh, and we're still slaves to Achashverosh. We're still in Golus. Esther was still Kfusha, she was still conquered in the house of the Rosha. What was the great rejoicing? They realized that Kodesh Baruch Hu was with them even without seeing, and even without hearing, and even without understanding. So this is not a simcha mitech yediyah, a simcha of knowing. This is a level of coming even without knowing. Therefore, the mitzvah was that a person is obligated to misameach, to rejoice in HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad lo yoda, even without knowing. And this is why Purim is known as the Chag HaGolus. This is the Yantif of the Golus. The Gemara brings that Purim, of all of the Imtavim, we have Shleish Regolim, and we have Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and then we have Purim and Hanukkah. Seven. All of the Imtavim either took place in Eretz Yisrael, or the Gemara says took place outside of Eretz Yisrael before the Beis Hamikdash was in Eretz Yisrael. Like Pesach and Shavuos was outside of Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara says that's before they went to Eretz Yisrael. And all of the Yom Tovim we say hello. Yeah. The only time Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and that's for a different reason. Yeah. But otherwise we say Hallel Nolam Dim Tevim. Except Purim. Gemara says why? Purim's in the Golus. Purim is the Chag HaGolus. It's the Yantiv of the Golus. What's the difference? Einayim Rim Hallel Al Neshe B'chutz Loretz. Don't say Hallel on a miracle outside of Eretz Yisrael. Why? You only say Hallel when you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Golus we cannot see. Not that the miracle is less. To the contrary, the miracle is greater. But Hallel we only say when we see. In Purim we cannot see. And this is the Golus. The Golus is Cheshach. A Jew walks in darkness, he cannot see. But even though there will be a time when you'll be in darkness and I'll conceal myself from you, that's Esther. The power of Esther is there. All of the miracles of Esther and Purim will take place, which even cause the greater level of Torah and in addition to Torah. It brought Klal Yisrael to such a level that they were amazed, they insisted on adding to the Torah. This was the level of light that it brought to them. What does this teach a Jew? A Jew must never say that if I was in such a situation, then I could serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But here, because of the various circumstances, wherever it is, there you cannot serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To the contrary, this level of Layhudim Haisa Ora, that there was an Or Torah that did not even exist at Sinai, where did this come from? This came from Esther in the palace of Ahasuerus. Could there be more difficult circumstances? Could there be a greater Mokam Atuma, a greater place of impurity? Yet Klal Yisrael came to a level, not a level only of Torah, but Layhudim Haisa Ora, of light, that they saw a light in Torah that their fathers didn't see on Sinai. That's what the Gemara says. If Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah of duress, so this is a declaration which should pardon them from all sins. Gemara says, Hode kiblu b'achashverish. They accepted the Torah at a higher level, not in duress, during the time of Achashverosh. As it states, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. Kimu ma'ashe kiblu kfar. They accepted and reconfirmed what was accepted at Sinai. In Shushan. In Golus. By Achashverosh. La'Yehudim ha'isa ora. They had an or there which did not exist before, a new or in Torah, which motivated them to add a mitzvah to Torah forever. The Mikra Megillah. We should be zeicher, behore einenu b'seirosecho, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give light of Torah to our eyes, and or chodesh al tzion toir. We should bring a new light to Tzion, to lighten up the golos of the entire world. We should all have a Freilich HaPurim and a good shor.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.